Chapter 25. Miller didn't know this ship, and he was in an unfamiliar place, a confined space that was actually too small for maneuvering to evade 10 pursuers. But he moved the throttle lever forward as much as he dared, and concentrated on making progress toward the blinking red arrow. He still assumed that it indicated the exit. He had no other choice now, no clues about any other options. If he was headed for a dead end, well, it would be a literal dead end as far as he and Mara were concerned. So he concentrated on keeping the sub on course, and as he gained more confidence in his ability to operate it, he increased the speed slightly one more time. The little sub responded beautifully to the controls. It reminded him of an airplane in many ways. It responded so quickly, and handled so smoothly.
"Millar,"
Mara called, and he half-turned to look at her. She had apparently gotten over her fright and shock at all that had happened, at least enough to experiment with her new surroundings. On the panel in front of her, she had found a view screen like Miller's and turned it on. But additionally, she had toggled the switch on the side that had turned her view screen into a kind of radar display, but with much better graphics than the ones Miller knew. Mara was pointing at the screen, which showed a large blue blip in the center, obviously representing them, and 10 smaller red blips around them. And one of the red blips was close, practically touching them. In fact, as he watched, they heard a scraping sound, and their sub began to stagger slightly. Miller turned to his own view screen. One of the switches beside it showed a circle with 4 eyeballs in the middle, looking in 4 directions. He toggled to look behind. The attacking mini-sub had its tentacles out and wrapped around the tail of the sub Miller was operating. The arms crawled along Miller's hull, searching for a grip, pulling them closer. Miller grabbed the joystick and flung them hard over to one side. The attacker's tentacles slipped slightly, but caught and held. Miller threw the joystick the other way. Again, he gained a few feet, but could not break the other's grip. He felt their sub slowing as the other threw its engines into reverse and began to drag them slowly back to Osiris. Then he remembered the guard saying that this sub was a little faster. That meant a more powerful engine, which should give him an advantage if he was willing to take a few risks. He could use his engine's stronger thrust to break the grip of the tentacles, if the strain didn't break up both ships. It was chancy, but he had nothing to lose.
"Hang on,"
he said to Mara. He pushed the throttle forward, quickly and hard, hoping to gain some room by the brutal surprise of his move. He felt the tentacles slip slightly, and for a moment, his sub surged forward, dragging the other one along. But then the attacker kicked his engines higher. The two subs were locked together, moving in neither direction, groaning and straining like 2 wrestlers in the middle of the mat. Miller eased his throttle forward. So did the attacker. The engine noise climbed to a hysterical pitch, and the whole submarine began to quiver and shake, everything on board rattling, including Miller's teeth. The vibration climbed. A rivet popped out of the base of Miller's chair and pitched to one side.
"Millar!"
Mara called. She indicated a corner of the glass dome where a thin stream of water had begun to trickle in. It was no good. They were making no progress and destroying their ship. Worse, on Mara's screen, the other subs were almost on them. Miller had one slim chance remaining, and without pausing to consider the risks, he took it. He pulled back hard on the joystick, slamming the sub into reverse and flinging it directly at their attacker. At the speed their engine was revving, the results were impressive. The tail of their sub caught the other one on one corner of its glass dome. There was a tremendous, jolting smash. It sounded like somebody had dumped thousands of auto parts into a bathtub filled with cement. The attacker's dome instantly shattered into shards. Water flooded in, and the other sub began to settle toward the bottom, dragging Miller and Mara along with it. Miller pushed at the controls, trying to slip out of the tentacles that still gripped them. He juked to the left and right, back and forth, up and down. The mechanical arms loosened their grip, but would not let go. But after what seemed like ages, there was a muffled
"Whoop snap!"
from the other sub. The water had finally filled the engine room, and all the circuits were shorted out. Miller managed to slip away as the tentacles went slack, and the other sub sank out of sight. They were free. But the screen showed the other subs coming up fast. Miller wasted no time watching them. He aimed the sub at the blinking arrow on his screen and eased the throttle forward as fast as he dared to push the sub. 50 yards away, and it occurred to him that he had no idea yet how to make the machine go up and down. Ignore the part where he just said he was going up and down, I guess. The attacking sub had pulled them under, and according to the digital readout above the screen, they were still at a depth of 37.48 feet or meters, he wondered. It must be meters. But he could be reasonably sure that the gate out of the enclosure and into the open sea would be at a different depth. It might be deeper. It might be deeper or shallower. But it would a colossal coincidence. And that's what it says. But it would a colossal coincidence if it happened to be at the same depth as the sub. He looked around and spotted foot pedals ahead of his seat. That had to be elevation. He eased his feet into them and slowly, experimentally, pushed down. The sub's nose went down. They began to go deeper.
Gotcha,
Miller said softly. Mara looked up at him inquiringly. He shook his head.
Nothing,
he told her. The red arrow began to beep. As he looked up at it, it swung downward, blinking more rapidly now, pointing down. Miller moved the foot pedals forward, easing the sub deeper. The arrow blinked and beeped slower.
Slower?
Then stopped altogether. And Miller leveled off.
Not bad for a boat,
he said out loud. He was a pilot by choice, but he was beginning to like this thing. It was built by a genius for a moron to use. All the controls were simple, effective, easy to use and understand, and elegant in design and response. The red light held steady now, and in the visual display screen, he could see a vast archway leading out onto the open sea. It was a fine, wide opening, and so he moved the throttle forward a bit. He checked Mara's screen. The other boats were closing in fast. More used to their subs and to their home water, they didn't hold back at all. He did some rough guesswork, but it was no good. They were going to catch him. Grimly, he moved the throttle farther forward. He had one chance that he could think of, a maneuver he'd picked up from a British pilot he met on a NATO exchange. The Brit claimed he had used it in a Harrier, but Miller was hoping it would translate to the subs. He tried to set his speed so he was only slightly slower than the pursuers, timing it so they would catch him at the gate out of the harbor enclosure. It was working. The two lead attackers came in from the sides to flank him. The other seven dropped back to give the lead sub some room and seal off retreat at the same time. Miller watched the flankers carefully with one eye and the screen with the other. It was closer now. Closer.
3, 2, 1.
Now! He slammed the joystick into reverse. His sub came to a stop so suddenly, the belt bruised his ribs. The two attack subs shot past him, completely surprised, and barreled ahead through the gate. Miller quickly followed into open water. By the time the two lead attackers had turned around, he was headed away from them at full throttle. They continued to follow stubbornly, but couldn't hope to catch up now. Far back, the other seven subs spread out and trailed after him, hoping for some miracle of stupidity on Miller's part. But he had no plans to give them any chance at all. At full throttle, he headed at a sharp angle away from his pursuers, and away from Duat, the city of the dead. The pursuers gradually dropped away and out of visual contact. Miller checked the radar screen and saw that only two of them remained on his tail, and they were dropping slowly back. He relaxed a little and turned to smile at Mara.
I think we're safe,
he told her.
We've gotten rid of them all.
But Mara frowned and gave her head a half shake.
What? They're gone, Mara. Come on. Cheer up for God's sake. We're going to make it.
For answer, Mara shook her head. That's what the book says, for answer. And as she did, both the radar and the visual screen began to beep. Miller whipped around to look at his screen, and his jaw dropped. Ahead of them, fanned out in attack formation, were seven of the mini-subs.
But that's impossible,
he blurted. But it wasn't. The subs ahead of him began to close the distance, moving in to block him from all sides. Bewildered, Miller reacted automatically. There was a small opening above him, and he headed for it. The attackers responded quickly, but he was just ahead, and slipped out above them. But now what? He could only go up 30 or 40 feet, and then he'd be on the surface. Then he could only maneuver in two directions. And against seven attackers, no damn it, nine of them, the other two were closing in fast. It didn't look good. But he had no other choice. He headed straight up, pursued by an increasingly tight formation of pursuers. He took his eyes off the controls to check the radar, and in that half a moment, his submarine broke the surface. For a second, he was afraid he'd cost them their lives. He waited for the sub to slap back onto the water, sure that the force of that landing at this speed would break the boat's back. Instead, as the nose and the midsection emerged from the water, Miller heard a new sound and felt a new vibration, as if completely different engines had automatically cut in. And then he noticed that, even more astonishingly, the submarine was airborne, skipping away across the waves at an altitude of about 20 feet. The submarine had become a hovercraft. His jaw dropped.
"That's how they did it,"
he exclaimed.
"That's how they got in front of me. They flew."
And in the air, he was in his element. His odds had suddenly gotten a lot better. Mara said something that sounded like a question beside him, and he turned. She appeared alarmed at this new way to travel. It was a great deal faster, and being above the water gave a sense of speed that traveling under the waves did not.
"It's all right,"
he said, and then he felt his face move into an actual smile.
"In fact, it's wonderful,"
he told her, and turned back to the controls, oddly exhilarated. But of course, it wasn't that odd. Miller the pilot was a much more dangerous opponent than Miller the submarine captain. Facing 9 opponents was not nearly so scary in the air. First thing he did was to shove the throttle all the way down. The little craft took off like a shot. Miller banked it at an oblique angle to the direction he'd been heading, and as the first of the pursuers broke water, he was far away and in the wrong direction. All 9 came up, but they circled for a good minute before spotting him and giving chase. And in that minute, Miller had gained such a commanding lead that he was confident they would never catch up. It eventually occurred to the attackers, too, and one by one they dropped away. Soon, he was skimming over the water's surface alone. He checked Mara's screen in all directions. There were no blips of any kind. They were alone on the ocean. End of chapter.